And welcome everybody over on YouTube. Make it okay, Carl?
Yes.
All right. Rob, Gila, Alex, you all there?
I am here.
I am here.
And we're waiting for Alex to say something.
I am here.
There he is. Okay. Quite a delay you got there. And we just have to verify that we are, in fact, broadcasting on YouTube, and then we're all set to go. Wow, okay. So our phone number, first of all, everyone get a water break. You douse yourself with water during the heat wave and all that, away from the electronic equipment.
Beverages have been replenished.
Beverages have been replenished, and we did turn the air on during the break.
Uh-huh. All right.
So it cooled down a little bit.
I'm just now getting to the water part of my break.
802-321-4225 is our telephone number. Alex, I noticed you had a dog on camera before. What's going on over there?
Yes, yeah, that's my beagle, Cleo. And, she says hello to everybody.
Does she? Does she really?
She does indeed. She does, yeah. She's very precocious.
Hmm. All right, well, be that as it may. Any other remarks from our previous conversation? It was pretty spirited, I think, you know, as far as new, old technology, that kind of thing. A lot to say.
Yeah, there was a story I was looking at from the BBC about a week ago where they, as an experiment, took 10 teenagers from a local technical college and basically locked up their smartphones for 10 days and gave them feature phones. Little brick phones instead to use. And I think one or two of them dropped out immediately, a day or two in. The rest found it weirdly refreshing, but also felt the continued stress and aggravation of the stuff they were missing out on. And I think they all went right back to their smartphones at the end of the experiment, and, you know, there was much relief.
Were they allowed to use a computer to connect to social media?
They were, I believe. The idea was just let's change what's going on when you're out in the world doing whatever. And a couple of them had expressed things like, you know, getting back into creative pursuits, you know, cycling more, exercising, things like that. One kid says, I feel like I'm learning stuff and engaging more. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything, says a 15-year-old called Grace. She was actually buying a bunch of plastic gems to stick all over her brick phone and bedazzle it. And, you know, it's kind of sweet, but it's also, yes, a big deal.
Well, you know, it's something we all have the power to try, to experiment with. We can all leave our smartphone at home or, you know, get something else instead and use that to communicate, do things the way our relatives and ancestors used to do them. Not necessarily, you know, what are you laughing at, Kyle? You have a BlackBerry, for God's sake, you should talk.
No, that was deep. I like the way you put that.
And on that subject, I mean, you basically fought back harder than I think BlackBerry itself fought back against their, do they even still exist? The phone still works, right?
Oh, this is a long conversation. Mm-hmm. They're an entity still, yes, but a lot of the familiar services that people using those particular handsets would, embrace or, you know, rely on it day to day. A lot of those services don't exist in the same form at all. And, I think a lot of carriers themselves have, no longer offer plans or anything like that. And mm-hmm. Last I heard, I think they were trying to market some of the software aspects and basically reimagine the usefulness of some of BlackBerry's kind of novel development stuff. But a market for that isn't quite so saturated and dominated like cellular technology, I think it's still elusive for them.
So I don't understand why they just couldn't exist, even if they're smaller, even if they can't quite compete with Android and Apple. Enough people love BlackBerries that they should still be around. People should be able to use that form of technology if they choose to.
Well, I'm almost scared to mention, I mean, not all BlackBerries are gone per se,
mm-hmm.
And they do still have functionality, but support is not there at all. and the network itself, like, that would have had sort of their own features for BlackBerry specific devices, that's not there anymore. So mm-hmm. you're kind of offline and not yeah. attached in the way that BlackBerry worked, which was, if you understand sort of how counterintuitive it was, sort of each device was itself a server as opposed to yeah. being a client that was attached to a server. And
that was cool.
That was part of their technology. So the ability to maintain that and be a part of the QNX hive mind and all of that, you know, whatever their stuff is, and it being, of course, updated, because that's the thing that I think Apple and Android have now. They're the support, right? They're updated and current, and that's partly why people are dependent, because it's managing the OS, and then you have like a little sprinkle of Google in there being affiliated with Android. So it's definitely become more complex, and the carriers just dealing with two, I think, is cumbersome. Then three, four, five different types. It's weird because the feature phones themselves have their own little OSs, but they seem to be on a tier, and this is more like in the realm of hardware and electronic engineering, way beyond me, but or what I could guess. But they seem to, at the operator level, have less overhead and fit into some kind of category of device that is easy to set up and easy to use, like Alex was describing.
You guys have anything out there? Or do we have a phone call?
Somebody did call. I don't know if they're like... I felt like I could just, you know, let them linger. They could be the first call. I don't want to punish them.
Do we have a call or not?
Yeah.
Oh, we do. Okay. Well, then...
Do you want to take a call?
I think we should take the call that's on hold because somebody is waiting patiently.
Let the people talk. Well, I'm done.
They're people, too.
I don't need to talk. Yeah, I mean... Why am I talking? Why am I still talking?
I don't know.
Where'd Alex go? Is he still around?
He's there. You just can't see him.
Okay. All right, we're all here.
He's an icon now.
I'm here.
See?
I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's an improvement, I think. It was kind of good in that little picture there. Okay, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hey, this is the Gibson from Hackers.Town.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, doing
Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Look... Thank you. Hope is 3 weeks away, y'all.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. Way to make me panic.
But we're looking forward to it because we have not only our Valid talk there. Thank you for hosting us for that. We're very appreciative. But we also have three other Hackers.Town members speaking and another CDC member there speaking. Lodry is on one of your panels. So... you're in real danger of a Hackers.Town CDC combined takeover. That's all I'm saying. But
we're
looking forward to it, and we're ready to go.
So I have to say,
call in and get some excitement out there.
Yeah, we have more participation this year than I can remember for quite a while. More talks, more workshops, more villages. It's really going to be amazing and interesting and fun and memorable. And 3 weeks away. Oh my God. We should start organizing this thing, I think. If you go to the Hope.net website, you'll see the updated list of workshops, and the speaker schedule is now up, and there's a whole lot more information. It's constantly being refreshed and updated, and there'll be a lot more coming as well. But it's not too late to get tickets. Hope.net, there's a ticket link there. I know that we needed to get another 300 tickets sold, and I think we're at least halfway to that point right now, and that was only a week ago. So fingers crossed that we can get there, because if we get there, we're able to use that money to get more cool things so that the conference looks and sounds as good as it can possibly sound. You know, no matter what, it's going to happen. No matter what, it's going to be awesome. But we want to make it as cool as possible and throw as much at this thing as we can.
Yeah, we're also accepting we're signing up and accepting volunteers, getting a lot of the pre-planning in place for build-up. So get in touch. I think it's volunteers@hope.net. But there's all the info on hope.net to get involved and sign up. Find something that maybe you can devote a little bit of time to that helps
every bit of the volunteer end of the event because, well, frankly, some of the volunteers want to sneak away and catch talks too. So,
absolutely, yeah.
So please chip in. Well, it really helps.
What are some of the things that we specifically need help with? I know running cameras is something that we always use. We can always use help with. That's, you know, the talks themselves, making sure that they're being recorded properly and all that. MCs, people to introduce speakers in the various tracks that we have talks going on. All sorts of things. There are so many different aspects to running a conference. I can't even get it all in my head. But volunteers at hope.net, I think, is the email address for that.
I'll keep pushing the button to get people's attention because you know, we want to see this be the most K-Rad Hope it can be. So,
yes,
we're gonna be there. We're bringing the party with us, so we'll take care of part of it. But yeah, we absolutely want to see you guys get the support you need. So I'll get out there and start pushing the signal again, and hopefully help get some people in.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Thanks for bringing it up,
and we look forward to your talk and to seeing you there. And it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, we're just looking forward to being there. I've never actually been to in-person Hope before. This is going to be the first one, so I'm looking forward to it.
You'll be amazed at how it's both in a city and also it feels like you're just with a bunch of friends. Alex, you have something to add. Go ahead.
Yeah, Gibson, great to be back in touch. Let's make sure that we connect over at Hope in person. And I want to talk to you further about Valid, where you guys are, what kind of help you need, and also whether or not perhaps there's a way to integrate ENS or the Ethereum name service into the back end there in some way. So I'm very excited to hear what's going on.
Absolutely. There's been some projects, kind of like what you're talking about, that people have theorized, but I don't think any work started on yet. But we'll talk then and exchange some notes.
Awesome. Looking forward to it, man.
Okay.
We're going to exchange notes in the hallway, though, Alex.
Well, there's not only hallways. There's many outdoor areas. There's all kinds of nooks and crannies to hang out in and meeting places. It's really close. So much space compared to, you know, to the hotel. You know, the hotel was great, but limited amount of space. And in the middle of Midtown, you're in the city still, but it's wide open, so you can do so much more.
Yeah, we're sort of taking over a common sort of cafeteria, really large space. We also have like what is a kind of like a, it's got a lot of alcoves and like areas set aside as a part of one of the professional schools. So that's like it's really conducive to a lot of that. So there'll be a lot of hopefully those kind of conversations going on. So bring it, and thanks for all the energy. That's what we like to hear.
Absolutely. We're gonna help out any way we can. So I'll let somebody else do the talking from here on out. I've said everything I need to say, but thank you guys for putting it on. Thank you guys for having us, and all the best with how this thing goes. We'll see you there.
All right. In 3 weeks. Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, I guess I wasn't really paying attention to the calendar. 802. 321-4225 is our telephone number. Yes, Diva, go ahead.
So first of all, I wanted to say thank you to Rob for writing Herd on the chat last week in my absence. Hello to the 49 people who are with us right now on YouTube. And actually, we did get a question from a listener. This is from Jedi83, who asks in the chat, or who says in the chat, I got a question that I was going to call in with, but just going to ask it here in the chat for everyone, including those on the show, to answer if they get a chance. How do you define what a hacker is?
You're asking them?
So the question is in the chat, and of the, again, 46-something I said, apparently, people who are in the chat are always free to answer that question, but, you know, also asking it of the panel.
You want us to define what a hacker is?
What you feel a hacker is, yes.
You know, I've never been asked that question before. I've been doing this since 1984, and no one has ever asked me what I think a hacker is. Can you believe that? I don't know. Maybe it's an oversight or something. I guess, you know, my opinion doesn't really matter that much.
This
is what that's okay. That's fine.
This is what you leap out of bed for. I think it's important for people not to be told what a hacker is, necessarily. You got to kind of define it for yourself. That's a good sidestep. as I strafe the conversation.
Yeah, you know, I'm not avoiding the question. It's just I'm so tired of the question. And I don't want to get it wrong, you know, say something that doesn't make sense. Or
it's also
like that.
Something that changes across time. I think we're defining it in this very moment.
There's so many ways to be a hacker, you know. But our definition is, you know, curious people with decent intent. But you certainly could use hacker abilities for evil. There's no question about that. But I don't think that makes you a hacker. I think it makes you a criminal. And, you know, somebody maybe with hacking skills. But to be part of this community, I think, is, you know, you're part of an inclusive, open-minded, fun community of people. You know, the kind of people that show up at Hope, that sort of thing. Asking questions, never accepting something just because you're told that's the way it is. Thinking outside the box. It doesn't have to be technical. You don't have to be a coder. You don't have to even understand phones or computers. You just have to have that inquisitive mind and think outside the box. And, you know, just determine that you're going to get the answer one way or another. You're going to get what you want one way or another. And, you know, there's a reason why in movies, TV shows, the person with the hacking abilities, the person who thinks outside the box, the person who doesn't follow the rules because, well, the rules sometimes are stupid, the audience always sides with them. There's a reason for that, because deep down within all of us, there is a hacker. You know, we all want to be hackers. We all want to have that ability and that courage to speak for ourselves and to defy the system. But we don't always get the opportunity. And that way, you know, when we're reading books or watching movies, we can identify with those heroic characters that that strike out and speak up for themselves and all the rest of us.
So the chat is, people are really active in all of this. I did want to share a couple of comments from listeners who have chimed in. So we start with our friend Matt, who says a hacker is one who hacks. A hacker is someone who not only plays with computers, but with any bit of tech. Matt also says different colored hats. Drake and Black Knight says there's a number of ways hacker can be defined, ranging from the types of people who try to break / secure computer systems to the freakers of the 60s through 80s, for example. Did you know that freakers aren't a thing anymore? Our friend Alexius says, I figure that hacker is something you can't really claim because you sound boastful, but at the same time, nobody can tell you that you aren't one. And our friend Johnny Fusion says what I was going to say, which is, it's like porn, I know it when I see it. Again, always great to get to have these conversations with all of you and with all of you. And you can't see where I'm pointing, everybody, but I'm pointing at YouTube. And, no, this is why we do overtime like this, so that we can have these vaster conversations than among just those of us on the panel.
And we can take phone calls, which we can't do since we're remote. And
we can come back to this particular topic, but there is a call.
There's a call. Okay. I'm sorry. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hello.
What? Did you say something?
I said hello. It's standard to say hello after someone says hi.
Yes.
Just our tradition.
Okay. I'm relieved that you talked about Hope during overtime rather than on the air because of people who would try to attack you if you mentioned it over the air.
Yeah, that's probably true. There are it's a weird situation. There are people out there that are convinced that somehow we're profiting immensely from this conference, and by even mentioning it on the air, that we're, I don't know, the equivalent of airing commercials and using the station for our own cash cow. That's not what's happening. Anybody who's been to the conference or knows us knows that. But, you know, it's not our station. We're part of the radio station. We do a show there. But we are not going to put the station in harm's way because there's lunatics out there that want to hurt the station and want to use us as the means of doing that. So we have so much to talk about in this community, and with this technology, we could literally go all day long without even mentioning one particular item or not. Look, people know what hope is. We don't have to constantly discuss that. It is of interest. I know that. It's frustrating for listeners, but that's why we have overtime, so people can partake there, and people can also write to us.
Yeah, well, I was saying I was glad that you exercised discretion, and I just wanted to pat you on the back for that.
Thank you.
I was concerned. I'm concerned about the people who are gunning for you unfairly.
Yeah, I think they need help.
Yes. I'm going to throw in something that has nothing to do with anything before I get to the other thing I actually called about. The Chronicles of Narnia, complete 7-book collection, is free on Kindle today for anyone who's interested in that.
Okay. That came out of nowhere? And, sure, why not?
Yes, that came out of nowhere.
Free
and
e-book.
That, yes. Yeah, a 3-7-book collection.
And Amazon's not going to take it back when they change their mind?
Apparently.
Are they, like, trying to get you to read it all in one day?
Yeah, I never trust them.
No, but it's the 7-book collection. You know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is wonderful. And also The Magician's Nephew is wonderful. The other ones, you know, I can do without them. The Last Battle, is okay.
Careful. Careful one, there. You risk angering people of many, many.
Anybody can get the complete collection mm-hmm. and read all of it. So, but the other thing I called about was to plead with you guys, one or all of you, to run for the WBAI local station board. There are no, as in zero, people running for staff. Zero people. You know, there are three. We have three seats.
There are people running. They're just running in the other direction, trying to get away from the insanity that happens at these gatherings and meetings and things like that. I've heard stories.
Well, We need good people on the local station board, sane people, and the people who've signed up as nominators for staff. They've signed up, and there are no names for them to nominate or decline to nominate. No one is running for staff. There's not enough people who are running as listener members. You know, we need to have 9 good people. Mm-hmm. And there are not enough people running for that.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Staff, you are staff.
Yeah, we're staff. That's true. First of all, when is the deadline for each of these?
You have to sign up. You have to declare your candidacy, by June 30th. But you also have to get your nominations in by June 30th. So
okay.
You don't want to wait till the last day.
Right.
Of course, if there's 5 of you, you can all nominate each other, and you can do it all on the
Yeah, I'm not sure an off-the-hook dominated board is what anybody wants, but as far as listeners, because we do have a lot of listeners here, and, of course, all the people that download the program, so can you tell them what is involved if they decide to sign up and what they have to do in order to qualify to be able to sign up?
Yeah, like, do they have to be an actual human person?
You have to be more than that. Not only do you have to be an actual human person, you need to be a member of WBAI. You have to have contributed $25 or 3 hours as a volunteer between July 1st of last year and June 30th of this year.
So if somebody calls up 212-209-2950, donates $25, they qualify, they can run?
Yes, they can.
Okay, so it's that simple.
That would include anybody that had donated, right?
in that period of time, $25.
Anyone who does within that 1 year period, and you write a little statement. There's a box that will give you up to 300 words, and there's another one that will give you up to 500 words.
Yeah, I got to say, I can't speak for us right now because we've got so many things on our plate. But I do think this might be something that listeners Off the Hook particularly might take an interest in because it's so easy to qualify and because we have such diverse opinions, and we'd like to see that represented. So I echo your invitation for people to look into it. How can people look into it? Where do they go? What do they do?
Go to the Pacifica website.
Which is?
And then you click on
Hold on. We don't know what the Pacifica website is. You gotta tell us the address.
Okay.
Yeah, every detail.
Sure.
We need.
HTTPS.
Okay, we don't need that part. All right, fine.
Okay. Well, I've heard you say that it's important to know about that part. But anyway, Pacifica.org.
Okay, that's sufficient.
Pacifica.org. And then there's a column, and it has, at the top of the column, it's got elections and balloting. Click here. So you click here on that, and I'm doing it as I speak. And then there's a page that has a whole bunch of things. One of them is how to run in the Pacifica delegate election. And the next one is candidate sign-up page. And then there's nomination guide, and then there's nominator sign-up page. If you do not want to run, if that's too much for you, you can still become a nominator. Everyone who runs, the staff need to have 5 staff members nominate them, and the person can nominate themselves. So they have to get themselves and 4 others.
So I could go on there, and I could nominate Alex, for example.
And Alex could also nominate himself. And you have 5 people in total, including yourself, if you're staff. If you're a listener member, as the people who are listening are, you have to get 15 people, including yourself as one of the 15. And if you happen to know any of these people, and if they feel like sending you an email, because last year the NES would say you didn't get enough people, and people were being asked to show documentation of who signed up, and they don't even necessarily even know.
Hang on, I'm a little confused here. You say a listener needs 15, they need 15 nominees? A listener, how are they going to get 15 nominees?
Nominators will be a list of people running.
Right.
And they check a box for the ones that they want to nominate.
But our listeners don't know each other, so how are they going to nominate each other? That's what I don't understand.
As I said, you sign up as a nominator.
Uh-huh.
And then when you... First you sign up as a member.
Okay.
And then you sign up as a nominator, and then they should send you a confirmation thing with a code to get in. And if they don't do that within a day or two, you have to write the National Election Supervisor and complaint.
Okay, well, let's assume they do it. Let's assume they do that.
Okay, so they got the code, and they go in, and their box, I'll look at my own box, because I'm a nominator.
You're a listener nominator or a staff nominator?
I am a listener nominator.
Okay, all right.
And so I see a list of names. And I have checked Rachel Barr and John David Brinkman.
Maybe don't tell us exactly who you're checking, but how do you know? I mean, those people you might know, but if say, one of our listeners registers, how would you know them? How would you know they're a good candidate?
Well, you could have listened to the local station board meetings. That's one way.
I don't follow.
You could be on the public list serve. And when people post things, then you get to read them and see what you think of them.
So wait, a listener wants to run. I assume they don't just put their name. They actually have to write something to explain where they stand on certain things. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's a box that's up to 300 words, and then there's another box that's up to 500
okay.
words. You have to put something in each of those boxes. It can be the same thing in both of them.
Okay, Gila has something to add to this. Go ahead, Gila.
Sorry, we are getting feedback from YouTube that people cannot hear our caller. So, caller, if you could either speak louder and or, guys, if you could turn the board up.
The board is up to its max because this call was low to begin with.
Okay, caller, you need to speak up, please. Thank you.
I will yell, okay, since I'm being told to yell.
And
you go to Pacifica.org after you've become a member, and you sign up to become a nominator. And you'll get an acknowledgement with the code, and you sign in, and then there's a list of names. And you can check the boxes, like Rachel Barr or John David Brinkley, that you want to nominate. They need 15 people to do that in order to run.
Okay. All right.
So it's pretty easy as long as the system works properly and sends you your code and your code works.
Well, thank you. Thank you for imploring us and others to get involved, because structurally this is how the organization and the local station is actually run, by the listeners and by us to a degree by voting on people that take this on. So that was really helpful, just explaining it. And thank you again for imploring us to get involved.
And can I just ask, on behalf of listeners, on behalf of listeners, what is it that they would have the power to do if they were elected?
You would be at the local station board meetings, and you would be able to make motions, and you would be able to vote. And also, if there are executive sessions, you get to go to the executive sessions that nobody else gets to hear about things like, you know, people being in danger of being sacked or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let me again repeat for those who didn't hear. There are zero staff members running, and there are not enough listener candidates either.
And the webpage, Pacifica.org, and is there a tab or a button to press after you go there?
Yeah, at the top left, there's the thing for voting. And you click the thing on voting and elections, and then it has how to run in the Pacifica delegate election, candidate sign-up page, nomination guide, nominator sign-up page. And then it has fair campaign provisions. For instance, if you're running, which I'm not, because I'm already on the board, if you're running, you must not speak on the air during this campaign season, or, you know, terrible things will happen to you. You can be booted out.
Wait a minute. If we were all running, we couldn't be on the air.
No. If you're a listener member.
Oh, only listeners. Weird. Okay.
Yes. Staff members who are doing their show, of course, they can be. And, you know, they're getting staff members to nominate them.
How are they going to know if a listener's talking on the air, though?
Voting for them.
How are they going to know if a listener's talking on the air? I mean, for instance, if you called the show.
You are supposed to have a list of listener candidates or possible listener candidates, and you are supposed to screen and make sure they don't go on. But, of course, you're not taking listener phone calls.
Well, now I really don't want to.
So you don't need to worry.
How would I keep track of who's calling in, though? That's insane. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't want the ability to do that.
Well, as I say, it's a good thing you're not taking calls on the air, because you do need to do that.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay. Well, I think we've gotten the
but
word
you're
out.
Safe.
Yeah. No, I feel safe. I think we've gotten the word out, and we will continue to spread the information. And again, June 30th is the deadline to do all this. And I imagine people don't have to be there physically, right? They can do this virtually.
Oh yes, definitely.
Okay, good.
Ever since COVID, everything is virtual.
All right. So those of you looking for an adventure, this could be it. Pacifica.org, and just follow through, and we'll see what happens. Thanks so much for your call.
Thanks.
All right. You take care. That was interesting. All right. That was exercise in democracy. You guys have anything to add? Doug Gila, go ahead.
Just to clarify, you can also get to the information a little quicker by visiting elections.pacifica.org. You don't have to visit the charming Pacifica home landing page, which is real fun. Elections.pacifica.org does have all the information about Pacifica elections. Also, I know there was a question in the chat about why we didn't mention this on air, and Rob very rightly pointed out that the station has been talking about this. There are carts on the air,
mm-hmm.
but we can't pick what the callers talk about. And again, it's particularly ironic that the person who registered a complaint that we took this call talks about things that have nothing to do with what we're talking about. And managed not to call this evening. I'm just putting that out there. Although I probably just brought him down. Thank you, everybody, for the chat. Also, Fun Socks, just for the record, I don't know sign language. I am happy to be the voice of the people on the chat, but we can't put me into the background doing sign language in a little window.
Oh, come on, Gila. You could do that.
You want picture in picture? I can do that.
Do it like they do. Have you seen UK television? They have open captioning. Where you have closed captioning, they have open captioning, which is somebody standing there doing that on the news. And it's not just a little a circle on the bottom. It's like half the screen. It really is. It's worth watching just for that.
All right, I got some work to do.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
Apropos of nothing related to what we're talking about, but very interesting indeed, on Mastodon, Toroidal Core informs us that Field Day is this weekend. If you're an amateur radio person, and I want to give a shout-out to this, the National Association for Amateur Radio at ARRL.org is wrangling ARRL Field Day, June 22nd to 23rd. And it's always held on the fourth full weekend in June. There are events all over the place. There's a map where you can find one near you, and social media stuff and all of that. Just go to ARRL.org and click the Field Day stuff to get going on there, because definitely things of interest if you are into radio, ham radio, amateur radio.
And, you know, if you're into that, consider Hope as well, because we're going to have a lot of activity as far as ham radio goes. We're going to have a ham radio station operating. We're going to have all kinds of people giving workshops, showing you how you can get your ham radio license. It's really, you know, for that alone, it's really fascinating and interesting and inspirational. It's just one of the things that's going to be going on over at Hope. And, you know, we were talking about old technology. The vintage computer people are going to be there as well, with a massive display and all kinds of things to learn about. So old technology, new technology, it's all going to be studied and discussed and demonstrated. It's always fun. Do we have a call?
Yes.
Go ahead, Rob.
Please take a call.
Okay. I'll do that. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, Emmanuel. Back from Europe.
You know, we were starting to get worried about you, Rebel. We weren't hearing from you, and we figured maybe, you know, you had gone to a gulag somewhere.
Well, no, actually, I was going to call last week, but I was just lazy. I was in Ireland, and I fell asleep. I didn't, you know, because it was 1 o'clock in the morning. By the actually 8, 9, 10, 11.
It's a peaceful country. I know that, and people do fall asleep a lot, but that's no excuse. You should call us. We worry.
Well, you know, I was in Israel. Because I was helping my friend move some things there.
Did you sort things out over there? I hope so.
Well, it's kind of boring country. I mean,
yeah, not much going on. It's very, very dull.
But, you know, coming back, it was really surprising. I was at the airport. I was going to Italy from Israel.
Uh-huh.
You know, and, you know, security, you'd think Israel would have all this security. No, it's like being in the 1980s. You go to a... regularly, you know, like those metal detectors you see in the, like, the federal buildings?
What you're leaving is real. Maybe it doesn't matter as much if you're going someplace else, but when you go there, I understand there's a lot of security.
Yeah, but even going there, you don't have to take off your shoes. We came from, like,
yeah, but that's nonsense, Rebel. That is nonsense. Taking off your shoes does absolutely nothing. So, I mean, not having that does not mean you're off security.
You don't have to do that in Israel. You don't have to do that in Portugal.
Yeah, because people are grown up. Because people don't do stupid things like that because they don't work. They don't mean anything. It's got nothing to do with their level of security.
And the airlines are really annoying. I feel like Ryanair, this discount air,
I remember it. I was taking a plane. I was somewhere in Europe, I think. And this is true. The rule was, if you're American, you take off your shoes. Everybody else stand in this line. So literally, only the Americans had to do that because there's a rule about America that you got to take off your shoes, but nobody else does that. So if you're a European citizen, you get to keep your shoes on. What does that prove? How does that make us safer?
I didn't see that, but I said, you know, coming back from Ireland, you know, they say that you have to go through American, like, U.S. Pre-clearance, and I thought it was just, you know, like, because I did this in Turkey.
Oh, I know what you did, yeah.
You just go through a regular, you know, another security.
And what happened to you, you wound up systems. You wound up trapped downstairs, didn't you? And you couldn't leave because you were...
It was U.S. Customs. In the U.S. Customs. Going through customs.
In Ireland. In Ireland, yes. I know. it's outrageous.
Oh, my God.
You think it's convenient, but then you wind up not able to leave the place that you just went through customs. You can't go to the rest of the airport, and there's not that much down there
expensive sandwiches.
They don't have bars it sucks, and I don't understand it.
But I have never gone through customs in the country that I'm leaving.
You could do that in Canada, too.
Really?
There's other countries. There's other countries you can do that.
Iceland has
some
similar...
Where was I last?
You can check into the EU there.
Okay. It gets kind of complicated.
Yeah, that may be totally different than what you're saying.
Well, I'm glad you got to experience that.
Good for
the airlines are so annoying because you have to, you know, check in online. Otherwise, you got to pay a €50 fee.
What, if you don't check in online?
Yeah, it's like since the pandemic, these airlines have been really, this is Ryanair I'm talking about.
Oh, God, I mean, the fact that you even were able to survive that at all. They make it so unpleasant. They charge you for everything. They talk about charging you to go to the bathroom at some point, but you can't carry on anything anymore. You're very limited in personal items, and of course, checking bags now is a fortune. So you might get a good rate on your airline ticket, but that's only part of the picture. There's so much else that they get you for.
Right, and if you don't pay, I had my smartphone, you know, we're talking about old technology. What if you had old technology? Like, okay, I can't check in. I have a flip phone.
Uh-huh.
I mean, now you're going to have to pay $50 or euros or whatever, wherever you are, and because, you know, I can't check in. I don't have a way to check in online.
Yeah, well, that's your choice to not embrace the new technology.
Right, that we're talking about old technology. And let's see, I can't wait for Hope. I hope there's going to be computer terminals like text-based terminals.
Well, the Vintage Computer Festival, they may have just what you're talking about, at least for display. I'm not sure if you can get your hands on it. Maybe if you have them walk you through it a little bit, you might get to try.
We'll get you to a terminal, Rebel.
There's going to be something
you can, you can.
Well, speaking of terminals, yeah. I like to put Lynx. There's a browser called Lynx. You know how you can put the different browsers on your.
Lynx. LYNX. I know.
No, Lynx, like LYNX.
That's what I just said.
No, you said LINX.
I did not. Did I? No, I didn't. Play that back.
Whatever. Okay.
Can I still have her play that back?
LYNX. LYNX, and it's a browser, just like, you know, you can have Google Chrome and all that. But when you use it, when you go to certain websites, they'll know what browser you're using. So, like, let's say banking online, you'll have to do something to show them that you're using another browser. Somebody has to install Lynx for me. You should have lockers at Hope so that people could lock up, like, their technology, like laptops and radios, and, you know, so they don't have to, like, carry them.
Well, how much are you going to be carrying?
Well, just a laptop and a maybe a CB, portable CB radio.
And I assume you're bringing it for a reason, so why would you lock it up?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, I don't want to carry it all the time, you know, on me all the time when I'm, like, there for 6 hours or however long.
We actually do have device daycare that we're offering.
Okay, because, you know, I mean, you know, I want to bring the technology that I need for when I, you know, when I'm using it, and then when I'm not using it, I don't want to be carrying it, lugging it all around, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, we'll figure something out if we don't have something already. You know, that's not something I've been involved in. Gila, go ahead.
Just want to say that the chat is chiming in, and I also ran the video back. You said Y, you said L-Y-N-X. We all heard it.
So I was right.
You said you were correct.
Okay.
Yes.
See, I'm used to people not listening to what I say. But now people not only don't listen to what I say, but they say I said something else. You know, it's an extra level of frustration. And I just imagine it's going to keep getting worse.
Speak to the point you were raising, if you have items you're a presenter and you need it stored, we have plenty of options, and we will help people that need like a display or like a terminal. If they're bringing something that's on wheels or needs to be brought in, we'll take care of that. And I suggest people, for your devices, if you're bringing things, bring some kind of small pack or something that you can have on you, a knapsack or a fanny pack even, to contain all of your devices.
Yeah, yeah. It's always a good idea.
And some water and, you know, other things you'll need.
We're going to have a lot of things that we haven't talked about yet, with some surprises, but we can't talk about them because we're still working on
them. Hopefully I can get somebody to store, maybe at the whole conference.
We'll figure this out. We'll figure this out. We figure lots of things out. Alex, go ahead. Alex, you're muted.
Yeah, he's talking.
Yeah, he's talking, but nothing's coming out.
I don't hear him.
No. Alex, you got to press that button. Again, people aren't listening to me.
I think he said a swear.
Yeah, he might have said a swear, but now he's frozen. Oh, boy. The technology's embracing us, too. Alex, can you say something, please? Rob, Gila, can you say something?
We sure can.
Okay, so it's not me. It's on Alex's end. He looks befuddled. That's a befuddled.
Yeah, we can't hear you at all.
He's continuing to speak without words coming. Are you just messing with us? That's what you're doing. I hate it when you do this. My God, you're trying to piss me off, aren't you? Well, you know what? You're succeeding. You're succeeding, pal. And don't make it any worse. I swear to God, I will come over there. Where is he again? Is he in Pennsylvania or is he in New York?
He's in New York.
Okay, I can do that. Pennsylvania, I'd have to wait for tomorrow.
It wouldn't take too long.
I'll go there. I will.
Just don't forget what your point was.
I will activate that microphone. Now he's sideways. How does he do these things? He's got dogs on his screen. He's got no sound. He's sideways. At one point, he was inverted.
We do have a suggestion that a kid is taking possession of Alex's camera. Lex, I think that is not what's happening here. This does seem to be a tech issue, as the phone also keeps freezing.
It's user error.
Oh, Lord, what's the...
PepTech?
Yes, yes.
What now?
it would appear to be a PepTech issue.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
That means problem exists between computer and keyboard.
Oh, how clever.
Keyboard and chair.
Well, now,
between keyboard and chair.
Okay, well, you've insulted Alex to the point now where he's gone. So I hope you feel good about that. Oh, now we see his little picture again. Alex, can you speak now?
I don't know.
Can oh, my God. Now? It's so good to hear your voice again.
Oh,
what the hell was that all about?
That was a Bluetooth issue.
Bluetooth issue.
Yeah.
The point
I was going to make, though, in response to Rebel's concern about custody of his devices, isn't it the case this year, Emmanuel, that we will have DHS on staff and they'll be there to image everybody's personal devices?
Oh, you're a funny guy, Alex. You're a real funny guy. No, we do not have DHS anywhere near us.
Well, you know, they might be in your midst. And Rebel, you can always leave your laptop with me. I'm a safe pair of hands.
Yeah, trust Alex. He always
That's right.
gets the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm bringing my laptop and a, well, yeah, you're a lawyer, Alex, so I'm going to leave my personal information with you. Well, not that it has very much, but let's see. So I want to install Lynx on my computer. Is Lynx portable? So if I bring my laptop to Hope.
How did you just find out about Lynx? It's been around for like 50 years.
Because I want to make my, I just want to do old school things like on the net, you know, online. Just like when I do like banking or booking a plane ticket or something. I want to do it like the old school way, you know, like with the text, you know what I mean?
Of course, yes. You know, Cheshire Catalyst would appreciate this a lot.
I know. Yeah, may he rest in peace.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. Lynx has been around forever, though. I think they even predate, like, web pages. So I don't know how they existed before web pages.
Even in the
90s. Yeah.
But how is it portable? Like if I bring my laptop to Hope and somebody installs it on my laptop, because I have Windows 10 on my laptop and my desktop, can I put it onto my desktop from my laptop, or is it?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, you're asking very specific questions about something we have no involvement in.
Yeah, look at the project page and see what other people have done.
Yeah,
you know, what they've talked about as far as the capabilities and compatibilities.
Because I'm certainly not bringing my desktop to Hope.
No, and Windows 3.1 isn't really supported anyway, so it would be a waste of time.
No,
Gila.
Windows 10.
Oh, okay. All right, I just assumed. Go ahead, Gila.
Yes, Rob did a little research here, and Lynx was introduced in 1992, and people have been using it consistently since 1992. So I can only imagine that it would be installable on pretty much anything, because people, again, have been finding a way to use it for 32 years.
I guess I thought it was even older than that, but yeah, 1992 sounds about right. That's when web pages started to come out.
It went beta 22 July 1992.
And important to note, too, that, like, unlike a lot of just you could start up old software on things and it'll work, but Lynx is still being actively maintained. It is still a viable piece of software. And so, yeah, it is supported for all sorts of platforms nowadays.
I want to meet the people who are maintaining Lynx. I mean, that's good for, you know, a nice firm handshake, I think, from all of us.
There was a Lynx release last month.
Wow, that's amazing.
2.9.2.
Rebel, closing remarks from you, please.
Okay. The terminal in Windows, does that mean like you're like the DOS prompt? Or the
more or less sometimes, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Could I hear like you have to go to your Windows terminal, and because I don't want Linux because that's an operating system.
Right.
So I just want the browser because, I mean, I want to keep Google Chrome and all what I have. It's just that I want the Lynx extra because somebody told me to download this thing, CYGWin64, which I don't really even know what it does. It's a terminal. It's like a terminal thing, right?
Yeah, it allows you to run an environment that is a variant of Linux, I believe, on a Windows system. There's other ways you can do that, running Windows on a Linux system and stuff, and even some of the newer OSs, I think Windows 10 or 11, I think they started adding the ability to do it as a part of the operating system itself. So investigate that. You may have the capability in your Windows OS to do it, depending on what version.
Just know, Rebel, that whatever configuration you want, you can probably get, and Hope is the place to find out how.
Right, because I don't want Linux. I just, you know, want the Lynx browser. I mean, I don't have to have Linux to have the Lynx browser.
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. But we'll find out. We'll find out for sure. Thanks for your call. We will see you at Hope and hopefully talk to you before then. All right, we have time for one more phone call, 802-321-4225. Did I say the number right? 802-321-HACK is our telephone number. Yes, go ahead, Alex.
You know, another option for Rebel, if he really wants to use the Lynx browsers, you know, I'm sure you can install the Lynx package on just about any Linux system.
Well, he said he doesn't want to use Linux.
Oh, he said that? Maybe that was one of the
quite specifically
that
I
couldn't hear. Well, what I was going to suggest to him then, I guess, was he could use a smartphone if he really wanted to. And you could SSH into a remote system that would then have Lynx on it, and you could use Lynx to your heart's content. from your iOS device, your Android device, your Windows device, whatever it is.
Do you know?
So, you know, just connect to a terminal.
Yeah, I think that is that may be the question that is when he was talking about is it portable? Like, does Lynx work on the Windows platform? Had they ported it to it? And I don't know the answer to that. That's also something you would find on the projects page or on Wikipedia.
I know it worked in FreeBSD and various other.
It probably works on a bunch of those variants for sure.
Yeah.
But they may have some way of running on Windows, and that's why someone recommended that software.
Folks, be careful about this because when you go online and you ask for information about Lynx, the default is to get some kind of mass transit system in Florida called Lynx, spelled the same way and everything. Because the first question is, does Lynx go to Disney? And I don't know how to answer that or how to tell Rebel how to install that. And it's hard to find any conversation through Google on the Lynx we're talking about. You have to dig a little bit. All right,
but if you look up the Lynx web browser on Wikipedia, it takes you. There is all sorts of information, including that you can run it on Windows, you can run it on DOS. Somebody built an ADB for Android at some point. The official Lynx site is Lynx, L-Y-N-X, .invisible-island.net. And from there, you can find all the official releases. You can find the source if you want to port it to something. And it's a very old-school-looking web page as well, as you might imagine.
I'll bet this is more conversation about Lynx than they have experienced in many a year, and I'm happy that we can bring that to them. They certainly deserve it. We have one final phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi. What's on your mind? Can you turn down your radio, please?
Hi, I'm Michelle, and I have a Google Smart Home, and when I'm just sitting in the living room, it'll beep when it's not being asked anything. It has, like, concerns, some people. I was wondering if you knew what that was up.
Wow, anyone want to take this?
I want to know what kind of beep, you know? You got to give us, like, what kind of tests have you run on when this happens? Like, what have you noticed about it? Can you give us any more details?
Well, when it beeps, I, like, ask it, like, if it's listening. It does not respond. And I also have turned it on while it was beeping, and it just acts normally. So, not sure.
Interesting.
This is very interesting to think about because these things, whether you have a smart device that's the Google one or, you know, Amazon or what have you, a lot of these will constantly listen for their own wake word and mishear a lot of other things in conversation as their wake word. So, you know, there are other things that sound like Alexa to an Alexa because they're not very good at distinguishing these things, but it'll think you're talking to it, and the same with Google Home and anything else.
You know, I have an Alexa device. I turned on an air conditioner the other day, and Alexa started playing a radio station. Somehow it heard an air conditioner turning on and interpreted that to mean Alexa play a radio station. You know, I don't trust these things. I think they're listening a lot more than we think they are. Gila?
So, two things. First of all, Miguel, I'm so excited that you called. I think you may be our first second-generation caller, which is awesome, and we're so glad you're here with us.
Wow.
I did a little cursory... It's very exciting, kiddo. I did a little cursory research, and... check and see that there aren't any devices that are connected to your smart home that may need other updates. The issue may be with something that's connected to the system, not the system itself. The use case I'm seeing online right now is someone was saying that their unit kept beeping, and it turned out there was a water filter that was connected to the machine that needed to be replaced. So double check everything that's connected to your smart home system and make sure nothing in there needs any maintenance.
Yeah, because I'm not clear if the beep is the voice activation or if it is like that, like some other device maybe. That's a great point.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I haven't heard of that.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. Does that answer your question, or at least address it a little bit?
Hmm.
Well, please try it out and let us know what you find out. Yeah. Keep us updated.
Yeah, definitely run some more tests and make sure you're, you know, pay attention, look for different types of activation like that, and see what you find out over time, and like what kinds of things maybe you can find in places like notifications and the stuff that Gil was describing. You might have more questions after that, but every clue will help you figure out what it's doing and why, or at least what weird aspects make it do that.
And please share what you find out, because a lot of us are curious and want to know about these things, and you're basically discovering new features or abuses that these devices have.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
I love investigating this kind of stuff.
Majel, before you go, we did have a question for you from the chat, which is, are you coming to Hope?
I don't think I will be.
Okay. That's cool. We would love to see you there in the future.
Yes.
That's a very honest answer. And we're so glad you've been listening. We're so glad you called. Keep us posted on how your investigation goes. We really want to know.
Of course, yes.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And I think that's going to do it for us tonight. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And anyone else have any remaining issues they wish to bring up?
Want to thank the 40 strong people who have hung with us in the chat. And, that was a new caller.
There's five of us. Like, you should add the five of us to that 40, 45 strong people that stuck around. Because keep in mind, we have no air conditioning here. We're hot as hell. And, oxygen is at a minimum. And
it's at a premium here, too, yes. Definitely excited about new callers in general, and also I'm going to say that was the youngest caller we've had so far.
In a long time, at least, yeah.
So, very exciting. And thanks, everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for all the interesting conversation and excitement over the event coming up. We're going right back to work on all of it after we cool off. But we'll be back as soon as we can with this and more.
Write to us, oth@2600.com. Get Hope information at hope.net. And keep listening to WBAI and support them and say that we're your favorite show. Off the Hook, not Overtime, because there's no show called Overtime on BAI. All right. stay cool and hydrate and all that kind of stuff. And we will see you in a week. Good night.